This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
And, you know, I've watched stuff like The Mandalorian and Andor and so on, but, like, I'm not like Brian is, where Brian is, like, super Star Wars. You know, that's his wheelhouse, the original trilogy, you know?
Star Wars has always been a good number two for me. Instead of Transformers and G.I. Joe, it's always been G.I. Joe and then Star Wars. But up until 5 months ago, Alexander didn't give a shit. Now he's way in, so I've been really going back through all of Star Wars again with him. And so I'm kind of Star Wars'd up at the moment.
Yeah, I'm very much of the Transformers and G.I. Joe era is my thing.
Yeah, Transformers was a good third for me because it couldn't supplant Star Wars. That was the other thing. Like, Transformers helped get Alexander into action figures, and then he abandoned Transformers until this year. And so now we've been just buying up all the Seekers because that's what he's really into. And I was like, that is so basic, but I mean, yeah, I'll buy some Jets.
I started picking up those, you know, the Walmart exclusives, the G2 sets.
Yeah.
I got myself the Grimlock and the Sideswipe there last week, and God, they're beautiful.
Because I collect Sky Strikers, and I still need to get a UK Sky Striker. I don't know if all of the UK and Europe and Ireland all had the same stickering.
No. So there's the Palitoy Sky Striker, which has obviously Action Force stickering.
So I need one of those.
So the Palitoy Action Force stickering, you know, the yellow and red. And then there is a Hasbro UK Action Force Sky Striker, which has everything that says G.I. Joe on your one. It says Action Force. So with the red, white, and blue stripes.
Oh, wow. So it's Action Force, but it's the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then obviously the Palitoy one. I'm pretty certain Toy Hacks does repro labels of the Action Force version, the Palitoy version.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be a much cheaper way to go.
That would be a much cheaper way to go. You just pretend to everybody.
So like right now I'm missing the European, the UK European Sky Strikers.
Yeah.
And I'm missing the South American ones. So there's like Brazil and Venezuela. There's at least two. There might be a third or a fourth. But I have like the Fun School and the mold variant plus all of the ones that were released here. So I'm sitting on like 11 different Sky Strikers. And then I've been looking for a Canadian one because no one can tell me if the Canadian had Canadian specific stickers or if it was just a box. And I've heard both from Canadians. And I'm like, this is not helping me at all.
I was always in the impression that the Canadian stuff had Canadian national flags.
Some of them did, but some vehicles just had US stuff on it.
Because I had a Canadian Raider as a kid. Because it came here through the grey market. And that definitely had Canadian stickers.
The Vamp did. The Awestriker did. The Snowcat did. The General did. But then there were other vehicles that just used US stickers. And the Sky Striker is one that I've never seen a Canadian stickered Sky Striker that wasn't custom built.
Okay.
Interesting.
You know, I've asked the brains of our community, but... the two... Oh, I also need the Japanese one. Like, I don't think the Japanese one should be running $600 to $700. It makes no sense to me.
I will tell you right now, I was only in Japan 2 months ago, and I spent a considerable amount of my time looking for G.I. Joe in Japan. In Osaka, there's an area called Denden Town, which is, you're probably familiar with Akihabara in Tokyo, which is like the toy anime district.
Right.
And there's a smaller version in Osaka called Denden Town, which is like a mecca for vintage toy stores.
Oh, wow.
And I found nothing G.I. Joe related. Not a sausage.
Someone's already picked it over.
And I spent pretty much a day going around Denden Town to every toy shop I could find. Like, I checked out probably a couple of dozen toy shops. didn't find a single G.I. Joe figure. I did find one G.I. Joe classified figure in Tokyo in Mandarake in Shibuya, which was a classified figure I already owned.
That sounds like going to Ohio, being able to hit like a dozen toy shops in a weekend and not think twice about it. So that's, yeah, what I want to do at some point is get stands for all the G1 jets and G2 jets and put them with the Sky Strikers because they're all the same jet. Because my Sky Striker display is beautiful, but adding
Seekers, yeah, be nice.
Yeah, be pretty good. We've been buying the new Seekers, the retro movie ones as they come out of Hasbro. Mm-hmm. The colors are weird and off, but they're nice. The first time we had you and Brian on, you guys had mentioned kind of how you got your start with a Total Hacks book that, you know, Joel has a copy. I do not. It's the one book of your guys's I don't have. But now you have the new Total Hacks book coming, while Brian is also working on Bob Breakin's Palatoy book, which is going to be great to go with the Total Action Force books.
I can probably give you a little bit of an exclusive there. Brian has finished the Bob Breakin book. I got a final draft copy into my email mailbox earlier on this week.
I am going to send him nude pictures until he sends me a copy.
It is everything you guys hoped it would be. It is a fantastic book.
I'm not surprised.
It's just, it's 256 pages, so huge book. Again, coffee table format, and the images Rob has been able to get for that book. You will see things you will not believe. Even long-time Action Force, Action Man, Star Wars fans are going to see stuff they would not expect. It's the imagery they've got is unreal. And obviously, you know, I think a lot of people may be concerned that obviously it's the Palatoy story and it's Bob's story. You know, it takes it from the creation of Palatoy up until essentially Bob's last day in work in 1985.
So 1919 to 1985.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But obviously, so the initial history of the company is all there, chapters for each decade. And then, of course, when Bob joins in the mid-60s and starts working on Action Man and so on, that's when he really gets into the history of, because it's the history he experienced. So he has individual chapters for Action Man, Star Wars, and Action Force. And there's a lot of content in there that was probably previously unknown. Like, I was finding out stuff about Action Force I didn't know. I've written two books about it.
Yeah, you are an archivist and a researcher of this. So that's amazing. I read every day. I have thousands of books. But as soon as this arrives, I'm clearing the plate. So this will get read the minute it shows up. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. I think it's honestly, I'm glad Bob got it done. I know Bob is, Bob has mentioned, we had Bob over to us in Dublin here about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He came over to do edits with Brian on the first draft. And they actually got it all done in 2 days. Bob was quite happy with how it turned out. We brought Bob for dinner. Myself and Brian live on the outskirts of Dublin, so not exactly in Dublin. In particular, Brian's in a little village outside of it to the west of Dublin, and I'm kind of halfway between Dublin city and the village Brian lives in. So we met in a village in the middle. Bob out for dinner, and he mentioned, you know, that this was he's intending to retire fully next year.
Oh wow!
So he's nearly 80. I think he's 80 next year. He thinks that this would be essentially getting the book done and out. He sees it as being kind of his last hurdle before he can fully retire. And he doesn't intend attending events from next year on.
Oh, shit. So this is his opus, his swan song, and his love letter goodbye to all of us. Oh my God.
Yeah, essentially. And I think he was at himself and Brian attended a show, a Star Wars show in at the weekend. And he is probably going to do Rollout Roll Call in November. He was not sure if he was going to do Rollout Roll Call, but I think we peer pressured him into doing Rollout Roll Call in November as his kind of his final show.
Nice.
You know, we kind of said, I think the community here would like to have one more chance to, you know, ask their questions and just give Bob the send off I think he deserves, you know, for what he's done for the collecting community here across multiple lines. It's not just Star Wars and Action Force and Action Man.
Uh-huh.
He was heavily involved in the doll side of Palatoy too. And he mentioned to us that he had been at a convention for doll collectors earlier this summer as well, which apparently, if you think the G.I. Joe fandom is a bit weird sometimes, apparently the doll collecting fandom is much, much worse. They don't let members of the general public into their shows, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a closed group. You can't. It's not like Joe Fest or anybody can buy a general admission ticket or a roll call or whatever show. It's like, no, you have to be in the community before you even know that a show is happening.
You gotta bleed doll. There's something to be said for that.
I think that's, as much as I don't like that on paper, I also do think that's cool.
that's incredible. I hate to hear that he's hanging up his hat, but hell, at 80, of course he is. And this is a real nice way to walk out. Hopefully this can stay with him for some time. I don't know if he's planning on signing any of these before they ship out or if he has time for that.
Yes, he is. He has to come over to us again when the print run is done. So I think this is going to be an official, unofficial Bob Brickens My Palatoy Story book update podcast. So Brian thinks he will have everything locked down by the end of the next week, and then it has to go to print.
Nice.
So it's possible you'll likely start seeing those books ship out before Christmas.
That would be amazing. If they don't ship out till March, I'm not going to complain. But I would love to see them the day they're, you know, in December or before Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, I think Brian's current plan is he's attending an Action Man show in the north of England that I think is the first week of December. And he intends having copies of the book with him at that.
That's incredible.
I expect you'll start to see them ship. It's kind of for hardback, it's about 6 weeks to get it printed and bound, kind of the timeline. So if he got it sent off next week, you could expect him to have copies by the end of November.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And also, I like the way you guys have finagled away into having Bob at your house on a regular basis now. It's very, that's very clever, very sneaky.
Twice, yes. But yeah, look, it was honestly, even having him out for dinner, and you know, we brought over some of the people who had helped us with the Action Force books in terms of providing vehicles for us to photograph and so on. We brought them all out for dinner too with Bob as a kind of way of saying, you know, thank you to everybody who'd helped us get those books together. So, you know, there's a little group of us there having dinner with him again. Most of us knew him, obviously had met him before at various events, but it was nice to have like a small kind of an evening with Bob Brecken gathering.
Joel and I have talked about this many times. It's like neither of us grew up with Action Force, but we grew up with the artifacts that Bob and others at Palatoy helped create that then Hasbro subsumed and used, just in the same way that you guys were growing up with the work and the blood and sweat of, you know, the American creators. So I find it unfortunate that I never got a chance to meet him, and just the same as meeting like all of the American creators or, you know, any of his contemporaries, because there's a whole slew of people other than Bob.
Mm-hmm.
But I am glad that just like we have, you know, Carson and Dan and the whole D-class group and all of the archivists here, we have you and Brian really hitting that hard over there. And it makes G.I. Joe so much more to me because there is Action Force in Palatoy. I find the parallels between Palatoy and Hasbro interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the point that Hasbro buys it. I find all of that stuff really neat. And through that, I've been able to find my way into, you know, like Metal Men and other things from Europe, as well as things into South America. And all of that was an adult thing, but it is because you guys are out there beating the drum for people like Bob.
Yeah, and it's an element of G.I. Joe collecting that I find super interesting as well. Just to see, again, even with the, you know, you're mentioning the Metal Man toys there, the parallels between Exin and Palatoy and Hasbro as well, where there were, you know, they didn't have much budget to create new products, so they were taking product from other toy lines and repainting it and releasing it in Metal Man 2050 as well. you know, that's something I found. I read David's book on Madelman, which I think you have as well.
I haven't read it yet because I'm still learning Spanish.
Yeah, I have enough Spanish to understand the most of the book, which is a fabulous book, by the way. It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And really well presented. But I know enough Spanish now that I was able to read it and get, you know, a fairly coherent history. At least I think I understand it. But, you know, even understanding that, you know, they were taking, you know, product from other toy lines and so on. You're just like, okay, so like Palatoy did, you know, because they are a regional toy producer and they need to make do what they have, and they need to get so much product out on shelves to sell for Christmas. So they're grabbing this remote controlled tank from another toy line, another manufacturer, and repainting it and saying, this is a Madelman thing now, which I find is, it's fascinating stuff. Just, you know, to see the kind of fly by night attitude they had to do, or going by the seat of their pants to try and get product out on time.
It's the reuse of things. You know, I know every time I look at social media today, someone's complaining about a repaint in the modern stuff. But those repaints, the reuses, the swapping between companies, the swapping between lines, like the Ewok Village going over to Robin Hood, or like you're talking about with Madelman, all of these things, to me, it's that sort of incestuous, you know, everybody's in the stew. It makes toy collecting a lot of fun, because as soon as you think, I have seen it all, I have it all, someone pops up with something random and weird that you haven't seen before, and you're right back in the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it would be nice to be able to say, hey, I'm done, my wallet can breathe, but that will never happen.
Yeah, you need to get your Baron Ironblood with his Han Solo blaster.
Correct. Jeez, I love it. And so for someone like you who has been not just a toy collector, but an archivist at a pretty high level doing all this, you got out books. You started with a modern line, Boss Fight.
The first time we met Boss Fight was myself and Brian attended the 2013 Rollout Roll Call.
Right.
And it just so happened that was the first year Boss Fight had just been let go. Partners in Boss Fight had just been let go from Hasbro, maybe about 8-9 months prior. But they had obviously worked on Pursuit of Cobra and the Rise of Cobra toy lines. Eric and Katrina obviously had done a lot of the deco work on those two toy lines. And then Eric had moved into figure design on that. Andrew Franks had been working fairly heavily on Star Wars at the time, or just immediately prior to Boss Fight. And then Dave Proctor had been the sculpt manager at Hasbro. So he'd worked on essentially everything. And they came over to Boss Fight, over to Roll Call not long after founding Boss Fight. Dave Tree invited them over, you know, given that they're work on their recent work on the G.I. Joe brand. And they set up, and basically that's where we met everybody. Eric Aranya had brought over his... Eric Aranya has always been a long-time Action Force collector, and he had done dozens of Action Force customs, you know, modern era customs, which he displayed. They had prints and posters and so on. And then Dave Proctor was doing a wax sculpting of a Kraken. Was doing a live sculpt over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
of a new version of a Kraken, which I don't think there's actually very, very many photos of that online. But he basically did the Kraken, hand sculpted out of wax in modern era kind of style.
I've only ever heard about it.
And so he was sculpting that at the show?
Yeah, he had a block of wax in front of him and his dentist tools, and he was just sculpting away.
Look at the big balls on Dave.
Yeah. I think he got it completed, though I don't think I saw the completed one in the end. And I don't think there's photos out there of it. Someone will have to ask him, because I know he keeps everything. So after that show, everybody went to the local pub and got very, very drunk. We all had a great time. And then about a year later, Boss Fight came back. And by this stage, they had the first Vitruvian Hacks Kickstarter had successfully funded. They'd raised 450,000 odd to get their, you know, Greek series started. And they came to Roll Call with myself and Brian had completed our first book together, Total Retaliation, for that show in 2014, kind of our guide to the Retaliation toy line, which obviously most of the Boss Fight guys had worked on. Most of the Boss Fight guys obviously then bought that book from us. that same show they were showing off the kind of the test shots and so on of the Greek series. And so myself and Brian decided, you know what, let's just ask them if we can do a book on their toys when they come out. Because both myself and Brian had backed the Boss Fight Kickstarter. And Boss Fighter basically said, yeah, well, we like your Retaliation book. We like something like this. And so we started working away on that immediately. I started writing it straight away. And then obviously as Boss Fight got their figures produced and released, Brian started doing the photography. So we did that 96-page book, I think it was about 7 years ago now. So 2016 is when we got that release. So it took a couple of years for us to get that done because obviously their figures are still, you know, had barely started production when we asked them, could we do a book? and that was well received. You know, it sold out on Boss Fights. So we didn't do a Kickstarter or anything like that for it. Boss Fight basically paid for the print run of that. And we delivered the book to them, got it printed here in Ireland and sent it by a FedEx to their offices, you know, 500 copies of it or whatever it was, which sold through under a web store within a few months, I think. And we'd always said we'd love to come back and do a second volume. And people kept asking us for it. And then with this year being their 10th anniversary year, I kind of thought, well, it's time now because they've released about another 90 figures, you know, named characters that we can do a book about. And that's what kind of started this process. We had the initial discussions with them about a year ago and start putting together a volume 2, which I've written everything for it. That part of it's done. Brian has got quite a bit of photography done for it as well. At the moment, we're just looking to get the funding for it on Kickstarter. Again, it's similar format to the books we've already done, except it'll be a paperback. 160 pages covering all of the lore that I've been working on in the background, you know, file cards and so on that I've been doing for them since Total Hacks 1. Essentially, they've asked me to do all of the writing for the Hacks series. And so, you know, I've done up multiple documents over the years on here's the storyline, here's where it's going, et cetera, et cetera. I even had to do up a story Bible for a TV show that never happened, which I don't think has ever been mentioned before in public. So, you know, there's been a lot of content created for the series over the years. And I just wanted to kind of compile it all into one place, you know, just to give, you know, we have little bits of content on all of the packaging, you know, a couple of hundred words at a time, trying to tell an overall story and so on. And now I thought, well, we have enough, you know, there's a 40 or 50,000 words worth of story content there, most of which has never been released. And I'd like to get that into a book. And that's what we decided to do.
That's incredible.
And to help that along, you know, when we were speaking to Boss Fight about doing the book, I kind of asked cheekily, I think, kind of said, any chance we could get an exclusive figure to go along with the book?
And you did.
And we did. So Boss Fight offered us a repaint of one of their upcoming figures to offer along with the book.
That figure is also going to be a troop builder so that you can get multiples throughout the Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see you guys do a Total fuck anything, Transformers, Star Wars, Mask. The way the Total Action Force books read are so good. Joel, I know you have both Total Hacks 1 and Total
Retaliation.
Total Retaliation, yeah.
Total Retaliation, yeah. So you have both of these. You already know. Those are the two I don't have. I was wrong earlier when I said I was only missing one because I forgot Total Retaliation.
The Retaliation book, we only ever did 100 copies of that. Nearly all of them sold out at Roll Call. Well, that first year we had them.
Sounds like we're going to need a second run.
And it was quite funny because quite a lot of people we know, people we would know in the community, were actually at that Roll Call show. That was the year James Kavanaugh came over and the year Gary Head came over to Roll Call.
Oh, wow.
So I know Gary Head probably ended up buying about 8 or 10 copies of it off us because he put up pictures of the show floor from Roll Call. Like, people kept messaging him saying, wait, there's a Retaliation book. Can you get that for me? So every hour on the hour, he was coming back saying, I need another copy of your book.
That's perfect.
So he probably purchased about 10% of the print run himself over that weekend.
He was your mule.
Yeah, he was mulling it back to everyone in the States.
I've wanted to do Roll Call for a while, but yeah, you know, it's an expensive weekend to come from over here. You know, because you come over here for shows. I know Brian just did a Star Wars show with Bob, but did you guys recently do a show, or is that the show coming up, Roll Call?
Roll Call's coming up in November, okay. Middle of November.
And then you're coming over here for New Jersey.
I am, yes. Boss Fight are back doing cons again. And they've always liked doing New Jersey. They just like the vibe of the show. And it's a reasonable drive from where they are in Boston. It's only 6 hours.
That is reasonable.
Sure, that's nothing to you Americans. So I went over for that show back in 2018. I went to that show because I had always wanted to go to NJCC as well. I'd heard so much about it, and I had a great time at that 2018 show. I spent so much money, unbelievable. I came home with a suitcase full of Marauders and Boss Fight product as well, and every missing Pursuit of Cobra figure I needed. So I had a great time.
So you just threw your clothes in the trash and filled up with toys and came home.
Well, I came over at the bare minimum of clothing. I was just wedging four-inch Marauder Task Force figures into every nook and cranny of my suitcase to bring them home.
That's fantastic.
And I happened to meet, you know, a lot of people that I knew from only online at that show as well. People like Aaron from Roma Collectibles and Jason Packard and a few other people as well. And obviously the Marauder guys. Marauder John is quite scary because he heard my accent and he said, which Irish purchaser are you? Are you, names out an address? And I'm like, no, that's not me. He names out another address and it was my address.
Oh my. Well, Joel, I guess you're in the brain system as well.
When is that show?
It is first weekend in December.
Ah, okay. So okay.
I think it's the 9th and 10th.
You're going to have to drive down, Joel.
In Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And yeah, so I met Marauder John at that after, again, having given him the equivalent of a mortgage payment over the years in Marauder basketball figures. But that actually was also, that was also the weekend where Dave Proctor had come to that NJCC show as well. And he had the first run test shots of the exosuit that Marauder did.
Oh shit.
So he had them in his luggage. So he had just come back from China. So I was sitting at a table on the Sunday after the show with Dave Proctor and the Marauder guys and playing with the first test shots of that exosuit, which obviously is one of my favorite things that Marauder's ever done. I bought so many of them. But it was just cool to be able to, like, I have a test shot of this in my hands.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, like I said, that show, I had a great time. When boss Eric Aranya messaged me a couple months ago to say, we're thinking of doing that show again in December. I'm like, yeah, you're doing it and I'm going. So I bought my flights pretty much immediately. So I'll be going over for NJCC, probably just helping out in the Boss Fight booth. But I will stash a few copies of the Action Force books into my suitcase if anybody needs one. I can bring them along and we can do some under the table trading if needs be in the bar later or something.
Now I need to see if I can swing driving to Jersey. I've wanted to do that show for a while, but speaking of Boss Fight doing shows again, I had never met any of the crew, but you know, I knew Jason from Animal Warriors of the Kingdom, and I knew Boss Fight had done a lot of his original sculpts. I'm not sure if they still are, but I know some other people are working with him too these days. But I had never met any of them until PowerCon in Ohio. They had Corey Cantaloupe with them. And since we were friends, he introduced me to them and I got to see his new death sculpt. And it was, they were very lovely to chat with, but I didn't get much time to talk to them.
Yeah, Fred is fantastic. Fred, I think it was Fred was at that show, right? Mm-hmm. Fred is like unbelievably talented. I'm actually quite jealous of him. But he's like the quietest, most understated guy as well. He's one of the nicest guys and just so talented. Like the stuff he's been doing on Classified is next level.
That's one of the things that I loved about Power was how many sculptors, painters, writers, designers, just how much talent and skill and passion was in the room for making these things we obsess over. For making these things that we create worlds out of. I really enjoyed that show. NJCC has been on my list for a while, but I go to a lot of shows, so it's always been, okay, next year. Okay, next year. It's kind of the same thing as there's a couple shows out in California. It's just far enough away where I keep putting it off to the next year because of all the shows I go to locally. And you're right. Maybe it's an American thing, but I think a 6-hour drive to a show is quite reasonable. So
yeah, that would get you around the entire island I live on. So
if I ever make it over, which I've also threatened, I guess I'll drive. I have the stamina for it. I think it's a lot of fun that you guys work at this partnership, and at such an incredible level that you continue to be invited in to these other groups. So now that you're working with Boss Fight and Bob, you've worked with so many. I am excited to see what comes next. But before it comes next, this Kickstarter, when we're recording, this is about 10 days out. So if I get off my ass and edit quickly, you know, probably 6-7 days left of the Kickstarter when this comes out. You know, I don't know if you have anything coming up next after this, but Kickstarters, they take a lot of energy and a lot of fortitude. Mm-hmm. The middle of a Kickstarter, it always sucks. It's always anxiety ridden. And you guys have done this multiple times. You have funded multiple times. You've shipped in a timely manner on all of them. You're tested, you're tried, you're true. Even somebody like me who is not a diehard hacks person, I'm having this book. You know, and then you have somebody like Joel. I don't know how much you owed for hacks, but I'm sure it's more than a mortgage worth.
Too much. They were, and I'll say this as a testament to the brand, is in the earlier days, I've you know, said this before, but when you have, you know, less disposable income, you have to be slightly more picky about what you spend. And I kind of used that as an excuse to try to be like, well, I don't really know what I would do with this type of character from this timeline. And then when I finally like got my hands on a Boss Fight figure, I was like, oh boy, I've made a huge mistake waiting so long. I mean, it's all of my favorite modern era Joes were designed by Boss Fight. So it's not a surprise that when I finally bought, you know, one of their figures, it was like, really puts into perspective what can be done with a 1/18th toy line. And I've made this sort of half joke, half jab a bunch of times, but like, I get really irritated when I hear like the greater voice talk about how 6-inch is the only scale that can get detail, because I can take a Boss Fight figure that's stock retail for them and put it next to various 6-inch toys lines from big companies, and there's more detail, there's more functionality, there's more sharpness in the sculpt. And I'm always just kind of laugh, because I'm always like, oh, 6-inch is the answer for everything, but this 4-inch Phantom figure says otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, the M1911 that the Phantom comes with looks like an M1911.
Oh, wow.
I don't see how it could be sculpted to be more detailed, even at 6-inch scale, you know. It can be difficult for people to do 1/18th because it's not supported at retail anymore. Even Jazzwares is putting its Halo stuff to basically do, they're starting to do essentially Jazz Labs, for want of a better word, with their Halo stuff, which was at retail up until this year, but that doesn't seem to be happening anymore. You don't see the 1/18th Fortnite stuff coming out in the same quantities either. So I think, you know, nobody's really touching it at retail. So I think probably the indie avenue is the only way you're going to keep seeing that for the next few years, which obviously means they're going to cost more. You're going to be talking $25 a figure for anything in 1/18 scale from now on, which is kind of sad. You know, I would love to be able to troop build, you know, figures. It can get expensive, you know, when a 1/18, you know, scale figure is costing the same as a G.I. Joe classified figure. But that's kind of where the market is at the moment. You're just not going to get that retail push to be able to get the numbers of figures you need to bring those prices down. I mean, we saw the same thing with the G.I. Joe retro figures, you know, the last couple of years. They were, at least here, they were pushing close to $20 for, you know, re-releases of the 50th anniversary G.I. Joes. So that's not exactly, and of course, obviously, that sort of price level, they didn't sell very well. And which, you know, we saw that with the vintage O-ring style 3¾ figures as well, where they just weren't able to make that brand go because the buy-in price, I think, was a little bit too high for those figures. But, you know, and like I said, I'm happy that, you know, Boss Fight are still putting out 1/18th. some happy marauders are, even though he won't ship to Ireland anymore, John. That is also part of the reason why I'm going to NJCC, so I can clear him out for the next, you know, satisfy that craving for the next 2 to 3 years. I'm happy that the indie toy companies, because 118 is my preferred scale, so I'm happy that the indie toy companies at least are leading the charge of keeping it alive until maybe it'll come around again in a few years' time. It'll be a massive oil crisis again in 2025, and then everything will go back to being 3/4-4 inch. We can only hope.
The O-ring is trying to make a resurgence. You know, if O-ring makes a good resurgence, O-ring leads to 4-inch, right? Like, I know they're different, but they're kind of in that same, you can use the vehicles, the playsets, and everything that you can build for one builds for the other. They support each other in that way. Or maybe that's just my bias.
Yeah, I mean, I bought plenty of, vintage, 3/4-inch vehicles for 4-inch modern figures. They look fine, particularly things like, any of those open-top Jeeps looks fine, grand. So, hopefully, again, when we're seeing indie people start to get into that retro O-ring style size as well. So I'm hoping, like I said, this shows there's a bit of interest in it to keep it, at least in the back of Hasbro's mind. Super 7 are doing a little bit with G.I. Joe, obviously, with the reaction figures. And they have that massive Cobra ship crowdfunding sometime later this month as well.
I believe the 12th. I'm morbidly curious to see the inside shots and also to see where that lands price-wise, because I know it's going to be expensive.
if it's not $400, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's like the bare minimum. Just based on the pictures from San Diego and then the pictures from Toy Fair are like kind of surreal to see, a true 3 3/4 scaled 5 POA figure sitting on top and like you almost don't notice the figure. So that thing is going to be huge.
And especially if they put things like working lights or anything like that in it, it's just going to, the price is going to shoot up. And again, you're talking like they'll probably be lucky to sell a few thousand of those, which obviously is going to make the price higher.
I mean, I'm sure they didn't sell an enormity of the Thundercats castle, but that thing was gorgeous in person. But, it's also as large as my dining room table. It's over $700.
Like I said, I hope the Super 7 vehicle will fit vintage O-rings as well. We'll see if the vintage market is there, the vintage supporters turn out to support it. I don't know that they have turned out to support the reaction figures.
That's true. But a reaction is 5 POA, and the whole point of Joe was articulation.
As an Action Force collector, 5 POA is God's own articulation.
Fair enough. I mean, it's why I moved from Star Wars to Joe. So it's hard to go backward. But that spaceship as a playset, I am highly interested. Very captivated. I'm curious what it would look like for a 4-inch, though.
That was actually another thing I should mention about the dinner we had with Bob. I brought down some of the Super 7 Action Force redos for Bob to see. He was quite impressed, actually, with the Red Jackal and the Red Laser that Super 7 did this summer.
Oh, that's amazing.
He was just shocked at, he's like, when did these figures come out? And I was like, last month, like July.
A couple days ago.
And he's like, really? He just couldn't get over that there was a new Red Jackal figure out this summer. He couldn't get over that the legacy was still there, 40 years later.
His work does not die.
Yeah, I mean, he brought a lot of like really great ideas into like the Joe realm. I'm part of the collective over here that was introduced to that basically by the early rendition of the Full Force, where it was like still UK based, and like listening to those guys like really praise that stuff. Then you start Googling it and it's just like sort of insane to see what the original Action Force stuff was getting in terms of complexity. Like, the Jeep with the removable roof that becomes a raft is like, what a dream. And then like, what is it, the Sea Lion that has all the really cool like breakaway stuff? It's a true testament to see what of like creative force, to see what they were able to like pull from other things and like you know, piece together and then give us like these vehicles that like.
And I think the sea lion is one that I think a lot of collectors just haven't grasped how really cool it is yet. I think it's due like a Roboskull-esque rediscovery from the American collectors as to how good the sea lion is.
I mean,
it is my favorite of the line.
It's just beautiful. It really is. And so many play features. I love it. It's a breathtaking looking vehicle. The Roboskull is cool, evil and awesome looking, but I think the sea lion just looks classy or something. It's just got this beautiful shape to it.
Yeah, I think the sea lion is also probably my favorite from what I know of the Palitoy Action Force era of stuff.
We should probably have a talk to Ben Conway about doing a Sea Lion Mark II sometime in the next couple of years.
I think Jason and I actually, the first time we interviewed him, we kind of both were like, so have you heard of the Sea Lion?
You know, since he did the Roboskull, it'd probably make more sense if he did the Tri-Fighter first.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. The only thing I'd say is the Triad Fighter is still actually kind of cheap to pick up, where the Sea Lion isn't.
That's true. That is true.
You know, you can get a Triad for about half the price of a Sea Lion these days. So
there's some hard parts to get on the Triad, though. There's a couple things that are hard to come by, at least over here.
Yeah, the boosters and so on are like pre-lost accessories. Well, mine's complete. Luckily, I did find a complete one. But yeah, they are. It is. But it's the same with the Sea Lion. You know, there's aerials that always go missing and missiles that are never found and things like that. So
yeah, and I think the ATC was kind of the first of the holy shit, we have to have it vehicles from that line. Mm-hmm. The Roboskull is definitely there now. To see like the Triad or the Sea Lion get a come up would be expensive but fun.
I mean, we have a desperate need for a modern style APC of any sort. There has not there's not really a good one. I have tried as many as I can find, even as recently as the Haya APC, and it's just the seats are a little too small. It's got a ton of great detail, but if there's a row of three seats, you can only really use two.
And again, that was super expensive as well. It took Haya, 2 years to get enough pre-orders to put that into production as well? Like, that thing was on pre-order for a couple of years before they finally said, we have enough now. We hit our minimum order quantity and we can do it.
For the future, you know, I know you're coming over to NJCC this year, and I know coming over here is quite expensive, right? Like, you're starting the weekend, you know, grand in the hole compared to anything Joel or I are going to do. Mm-hmm. But with as deep into the Joe community as you guys are, will we be seeing you at a Joe Fest or an Assembly Required, especially with next year being the 60th?
I really wanted to do Assembly Required this year. Uh-huh. And it clashes with family things I have to do. I really, really, really want to do an AR because just what everybody has told me about that show, it seems like something I would really, really enjoy. But it just the dates this year didn't work, which is why I snapped at the chance to go to NGCC when Eric said, NGCC is about 4 weeks after. I'm like, yes, perfect. but we have, myself and Brian have spoken to Ed at Joe Fest. Ed has invited us over. We're going to try and make that work for next year.
That would be incredible. Good for Ed.
Yes. And we actually had David Allen, who you may know from the G.I. Joe Club.
Absolutely.
Came to Dublin a few months ago, about a month and a half ago. Myself and Brian met him for dinner when he was here. He was doing a tour around Ireland. So we met him for lunch. And he was like, you know, we can make it work if you want to come. So because he helps out with the organizing committee for Joe Fest as well. David got us thinking about it. So I think myself and Brian are, we're a confirmed maybe for next year.
That would be lovely.
We just have to see how money works because the flights will be again a grand and then a combination and so on. So it'll be a big trip. We're hoping, because obviously it's the 60th, we're trying to get a small group to go over from here and the UK. So that way, you know, people can share the driving and all of each other's bedrooms.
Yeah.
That might help the cost. And our friend Ray Murphy, who did the He helped us with the Total Action Force, the Battle Years book. He made the custom Special Weapons Force figures and vehicles. Ray was actually at Joe Fest last year, and had a great time. And he came back with all sorts of stories and also a USS flag, making him only the second owner of a USS flag that I'm aware of in Ireland.
How the heck did he get that back?
Expensively.
He met a guy in the pub at Joe Fest who still had one, a complete one left at the end of the weekend. I think he was looking for $1,500. And Ray was there with his wife and his, and you know, Ray's like, this might be my only chance. You know, I'm never going to get to a Joe Fest again. He'd already spent like $5,000 because he brought the whole family to Joe Fest with him. Oof. And his wife is like, well, if you really want it, and if it's the really is the only time you can get it, you need to get it. So I believe it was an extra $500 to get it shipped.
In the end, that's worth it.
That the vendor was like, yeah, I'll ship it to you. And it cost, yeah, close to $500 to get it shipped. But apparently the seller did a wonderful job packaging it. It looks fantastic. And we're all going to go over to Ray's house soon and have a look.
You know, launch some Sky Strikers off the deck.
Yeah.
I think I met Ray just very briefly.
He said everybody just called him the Irish guy at Joe Fest.
Sure. He would have been the one, I guess.
Yeah.
I would love to see you guys over at Joe Fest. Kind of like what you're talking about with Rollout Roll Call, you know, and everybody going to the pub afterward. It is a social con. And then AR is absolutely one of my favorite shows of the year. You know Brian and Travis. You know they do an incredible job. There's no other show like it. And it is also very much a social con, which are always my favorite way to throw a convention. I can shop anywhere, but being able to hang out with everybody at BarCon or at the pub is perfect. So if you guys can make it, that would be incredible. And we would love to see you guys. I don't have anything to offer in terms of like, it's Iowa and Augusta, you know, those are both quite a ways from like where Joel and I both live. But
we're lucky when we were talking to David and when he was here. So we have a flight that gets us to within 10 minutes of his house. Mm-hmm. And then he has a 4-hour drive to Joe Fest. So he suggested we just go that way. He'll pick us up from the airport and drive us over.
That's easy.
You know, again, 4 hours is less than nothing to you Americans in driving distance.
That is true. Also, in terms of David and AR, where he and Bill Leach and a bunch of people live, there is a direct flight from there to Des Moines. And so they come over every year, like at Thursday, and then they leave on Sunday. And it's just a quick, direct, cheap flight. Might be a longer proposition for you guys because it might be an easier way to go into Chicago and then into Des Moines. But just saying there are options.
Yeah, I was looking at it going through Chicago and it wasn't too bad, actually. Had I had the dates lined up, I probably would have gone via Chicago and then down to Des Moines. After the 20-hour flight to Japan, this time nothing fazes me in terms of air travel anymore.
But a 6-hour car ride still seems long.
It's fine. I could just take sleeping tablets on the way home from Japan.
I am going to tentatively try to make it to New Jersey because I have wanted to go there for years.
What's the drive for you?
5:20.
Hmm. See? Even the reasonable range.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Fest is a 13-ish hour drive for me.
But you're driving to AR and that's a how many hours?
Like 14.
There you go.
Oh. A few laps around Ireland, I suppose.
basically twice around the island, yeah. Oh my God. Hopefully I'll see some of you guys at NJCC, including listeners. If you want to come, say hello, please do. And if anybody wants a copy of any of our books without having to pay for shipping from Ireland, the Nacelle Company have a bunch of our books on their store at the moment, shipping from America. It's the Nacelle guys, they do the robot figures and stuff. They actually approached us earlier on this year because they've been seeing Brian's Star Wars photos.
Oh my God, that book. I want a copy of that book.
And Nacelle were like, we would like to sell your Star Wars book. And Brian's like, I don't have a Star Wars book. However, and he shipped over a box of the Action Force books to them. I'll be at NJCC if anybody wants. I'll bring over a couple of copies of the Action Force books and you can grab them off me there.
I love it. I don't know that I can make NJCC work, but it's definitely rolling around in my mind. It's more than a 5.5 for me. So even if I can't, then hopefully Joe Fest next year.
Like I said, I really want Joe Fest work. I'll definitely try my best. Especially, you know, if there's a group going over from here, I think that's probably the best year to do it, because at least then we can all suffer the jet lag at home together.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.